person to bring to you, but God bless you.
I do need your continued prayers as I stand before you this morning. I do thank the Lord for each and every one of you that are here. I don't know of any better place to be gathered with a portion of the Lord's people to worship the Lord and to sing together and to pray together. And even when we've got so many things that we've heard this morning that seem to be overwhelming, there's only one place that we can go to handle these situations in our life, and that's to the Lord. And we can't do that for others, but we surely can pray for them that the Lord would provide what they need. And that means so very much to us. If you've ever been on the end of prayers being offered, you can feel the effects of that. And you can feel that strength that comes from the Lord that can be provided and is provided by Him. And what a blessing it is not only to be able to pray to the Lord, but to have friends that pray for you and pray to the Lord and look to the Lord for you. And most importantly, to have that friend that's sticking closer than a brother all the time. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there and not pick them up. Little Sister Louise, I didn't mention her, Sister Louise. Ashby loves that hymn. Every time we sing it, I think of her. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And what a great blessing that is for us to be able to do that. And the reason those things are true is because the Lord has made them that way, but He's also, we know they're true because He's told us that in His Word. We're not speculating or just expressing an opinion when we present that to the Lord's people, because we have the Word of God to back us up, and we can stand upon the truth of God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word literally means God breathed it. God gave it to us. And it's given for our instruction. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's profitable for doctrine. What we believe is based upon the Word of God. It's not just what we feel or what we think or how we feel something has moved us in a particular way. We go to God's Word for our doctrine, and that is the principles, the articles of faith that we hold dear and believe. Those things that are so, so important are backed up and supported by the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God is given to the child of God may be perfect or complete, truly furnished, that we have in the Word of God all that we need for all of those things, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for doctrine. In all of these things, we have the Word of God. And that's why it's important when we come to preach, we're told not to preach our opinions or our viewpoints or what our ideas are about, but to preach the Word. We're to preach what God gave the apostles, what God, Jesus first taught and was given unto the apostles and has been given unto us, and what the Lord has preserved for us in His Bible that we have before us. This Bible is not an accident. The Word of God is not an accident. It was God-breathed, God-given, God-preserved. He's preserved His words. Not only His Word, but His words. His hand has been upon His Word. And we have it before us today by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, which is the third in the Godhead, is in our hearts allowing us to know these things without the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of Almighty God, the Word of God would be hidden from us. We couldn't understand it. We couldn't know it. As many have said, we wouldn't know it and we couldn't know it. We wouldn't if we could and we couldn't if we would. That's how bad off we are by nature. We wouldn't if we could. But if we would, we couldn't, because we have no ability. That's what being dead in sins means. It means we have no ability to bring ourselves out of the state we were in and of ourselves, because we're dead. And until God gives us life, we don't have the will and we don't have the ability. But when God gives us life, we have both the will, which is the will and the to do, and the ability to do of His good pleasure, which is pleasing to Him for us to be not conformed to this world, as He says in Romans 12, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That means I want to get my thinking in line with God's Word. I want not my thoughts to be guided by some feeling I get or some voice I hear or some image or any other thing, but I want to come back to the Word of God. And yes, the Spirit of God allows me to see His Word, but the Word and the Spirit are always in full agreement. You know why the Word and the Spirit are always in full agreement? Because it's the Holy Spirit that moved men to write the Word. And what He wrote, He's the immutable God. God the Father doesn't change, God the Son doesn't change, and God the Holy Spirit doesn't change. And therefore, the Word that He wrote, that was written a long time ago, does not change, will not change. As a matter of fact, if it's changed any, it would have been imperfect and now has to be made perfect. And we know the works of God are what? They're perfect. You can't add to them, and you can't take from them. For God doeth them that men should fear, that is to reverence Him before Him. And today we have a great blessing. In a world that's so full of trouble and no guidance and no direction other than the little light that we have by nature, which is tainted because of sin. You know, when God made man, He made him good. He made him upright. He made him just like he ought to be. But when man fell, his will became tainted. His desires became tainted. Everything was touched and made different because of sin. That's what falling and death and trespasses and in sins was all about. The only thing we can know by nature are the lusts of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And none of us would have changed their minds, nor could we have convinced anyone else to have changed their minds. But when God does it, we've got good news for God's little children, that He's worked a work of grace in their hearts. Today, if you have a hunger, if there's an emptiness in you that you know gets filled, maybe when you may not understand what's going on, but you know this, in your heart, you love to come sit and sing those songs that honor and praise the Lord. There's something about that that you don't get everywhere, but you find a special benefit and a special blessing to come and sing with the brethren and with God's little brothers and sisters that He's made and created. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That song means something to me. What a friend we have in Jesus means something to me. The Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. Means something good to me. And when we sing those hymns, sometimes you just want to sit there and listen so that you can feed on what they're saying. If that's the case, I have every evidence that I believe the Bible gives me the right and the evidence to say I see a little child of grace. I see someone that is changed by the hand of God, that now loves some things that he would have never loved, loves some things she would have never loved, and hates some things now. Even the sin that dwells in me, that wears on me, at one time that was my cup of tea, and now it's what grieves my heart. If that's your case, then I've got some news for you today from Psalm 71. And I believe it's direct from the Lord. Brother Terry said, I've heard Psalm 71 all the way to Kentucky and back, and a little while we were there. Well, you're about to hear a little more, Brother Terry, if the Lord will bless me, and I pray that He will. And I know this, I'll not wear it out. And no, all the preaching in the world won't wear it out. Brother Junior and I had an argument over which one was the best Psalm, 23 or 71. Of course, we really came to the conclusion both of them were saying the same truth, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we weren't really arguing about it, but he was really, well, what about, I told him, well, read that Psalm 71, Brother Junior, and see what you think. He said, well, have you read the 23rd Psalm? And I said, because he'll take you back there every time. I'll tell you what, when the Lord lights it up, any book of the Bible, any chapter, any verse of the Bible is a wonderful place to be. Psalm 71 is the Psalm of David, though it's not saying a Psalm of David here at the title. If you go over to Psalm 31, you'll see the beginning of Psalm 31 and Psalm 71 are very much almost identical. And 31 tells us that it was a Psalm of David. And you can read in this Psalm and just see David's life throughout the Psalm. But you know, you not only see David's life, you see all of God's little lambs and all of God's little sheep. You see our lives. You see our problems. You see our troubles. You see where we are today. You see what's going on with us. You see where we need to be. We get instruction about where we ought to be in the storm of life that you and I find ourselves in at this very moment. You find yourself in the storm where you feel like I'm going to be overwhelmed, and you cry out, "Oh Lord, help me." My heart cries out to God when my heart is overwhelmed. I cry out to God, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And you find David going once again to that same rock that he went to time and time again. David, as we read his life, was not a perfect man, was he? David messed up. David had many things that were wonderful and amazing about him, but he also had some of the same problems and all of the same problems that you and I face. David battled sin in his life. David battled that old man in his life. David was not only a new creature in Christ, but he had the old nature as well. And if you read Psalm 51, which is another one of the wonderful Psalms, you'll see there David begging God to forgive him for his sins and all that he had done wrong, and thanking God that he did not impute his unrighteousness to him. But he imputed righteousness to him instead of what he deserved. In other words, he was thanking God, "He hadn't given me what I deserve, but He's given me grace that I did not deserve." Can we say that with David this morning? You thank the Lord that He's been good to you? Aren't you thankful the Lord didn't just look down from heaven where we are and what we were and say, "I'll just give them what they deserve"? Some men say, "It's all I want. Just give me what's coming to me." You don't want that. The Scripture tells me the wages of sin is death. And He tells me also that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We had a discussion last night about what Jesus wrote in the sand when the little woman was taken in the very act of adultery, and Jesus had talked to them, and those Pharisees there wanted to, the judgment of the law to come down upon her right away because she was caught in the act, in the very act. But those just men weren't righteous enough to bring both of them to justice. They just brought the woman. That's how just men do. They didn't bring both of them. Somebody said, "Well, maybe they didn't have both of them." All I know is this: they caught them in the act. What does that mean? That means both of them were there, doesn't it? But only the woman came because they said this woman is a sinner and she deserves the wrath to be poured out on her. And Jesus, as they brought her there and they were waiting for His answer, reached down on the ground and in the sand, wrote in the sand. Brother Junior felt that they wrote His name in the sand. And I know why he felt that. Because he felt like I was as guilty as any of them for charging her unjustly. Whenever I look at someone and see in them that they deserve God's wrath and His damnation and His condemnation, and they do. But if that's all I can see is that they deserve it and I don't, and all I want to say is pour it out on them, lay it on them, and I don't have any heart in me that's broken because I'm deserving of the same judgment and the same condemnation Yes, I believe in a sense he did write our names in the sand, but I also believe he could have written, and I don't know what he wrote. You know why I don't know what he wrote? Because the Bible doesn't tell me what he wrote. And somebody would say, well, why doesn't the Bible tell us what he... God gives us in his word what we need, right? He gives us in the word what he would have us to know. And we have in his word that which we need. And we're not to go beyond that. But what's wonderful is that the Lord moves by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And he gives those messages to us personally, doesn't he? In other words, can a person sit and hear the exact same sermon and come away with a different message? Oh, I believe it happens every day. I don't believe it's a message that's off track. I just believe that God's bounty is so great, and our God is so powerful, that in the same sermon, he could tell a little woman that feels the judgment of God, I don't condemn you, and at the same time cut some Pharisee to the heart. So he walks away with his head dropped down, humbled by the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he sees himself in a way he didn't see himself before. I've seen sermons cut wise men and high-minded men to the core that also lifted up a poor little sinner that felt to be lost and undone and needed. I've seen sermons cut, and I've seen sermons comfort, and sometimes it's the same sermon. God knows every need we have. God knows what you need before we came. We've expressed our needs to one another, and we found out some things, but you know God already knew every one of those things. He knew them before they were going to happen. He knew them when they happened. He knows what they need and what I need right now. Isn't it good to have a God that big? We're in his control. And David in this Psalm 71 says, from his very first days, at his very first beginning, even to the end of his life, God's hand had been upon his life. And he's saying, Lord, help me today, right now, trust in thee. Because you've been with me when I didn't have a thought about thee, and I was formed and fashioned in my mother's womb. And when I get to my old age and my gray hair, I can understand a little bit about that now. Used to read about it and wonder how that was going to be. Don't have to wonder anymore. All I know is I just wanted to stay there long enough to turn a little more gray, because it's falling out faster than it's turning gray. I just know the days have come where there are some aches and pains that are probably never going to go away. There are some joints that are never going to get better. Much ice I want to put on them. There's probably some mountains I'm not going to be able to climb or get up as much as I might want to go. All I know is this: while I can, I want to. And while I'm living today, if I've got a voice, I want it to praise God. And if I've got eyes, I want them to be looking in the right place. And if I've got ears, I want them to be hearing the wonderful thing, just the good. Look at that little one crawling. I want to appreciate every one of God's blessings and recognize them not as the works of my righteousness, not as the works of what I've done or what daddy did or mama did. And I had a good mama and a good daddy and still have a good mama. And my dad is getting in a wonderful place. But I'm telling you, the blessings that have come in my life came from a source higher than mama and daddy. The Lord is my help, and he's my stay, and he's my strength. And that's what David said. He said it in the 23rd Psalm. And he said it in Psalm 71. And he is my help. He said in Psalm 71, he said, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Can you say that today? I hope you can. He's not talking about what he used to do. He's talking about what he's doing right now. He is talking about what he had in the past. He goes into the past, doesn't he, here in this psalm. And I may not get to read all of this in your hearing, you know. We don't give homework, but if I did, I'd say you go read this real slowly, clearly. Because he tells us in this psalm, Lord, I need you every day. I needed you when I was born, made as a baby. And I needed you as a young boy. Didn't have a clue. Still don't have a clue. And I needed you in my midlife, my early life. And as the twilight years are coming, and some of us it's coming a little more than others. I'm not the oldest one here today. I don't want to have a show of hands. Brother Donnie's already raised his hand. But wherever we are in life, I tell you this, we don't have as many more days to go. We're on the other side of the hill, so to speak. And he said, Lord, don't forsake me when my hair's turned gray. Don't leave me now. You know what God's promise is? The same as it's always been. Because Jesus loved you before the foundation of the world, I provided help for you a long time before you were ever born. My eyes of providence and my eyes of grace have been upon you every day of your life. He's watched over us and kept us in the storms and in the troubles and the hard times and in the good times. And we've all had those hills and valleys. And the Lord has been the joy of the mountain, but he's also been the peace in the valley. He's been my help in the storm. And I need him today. I need him this moment. That little family needs you. And I'm glad to know he's there. And he will provide. And we can't provide the help they need, but we can help in the sense of praying for them and pointing them as much as we can to where to go to get help. Has he been your help? I ask you, has he been your help? I know you'll say amen. If you don't, I hope you will. I can't give you that, but I pray he's given you that. And if he's given you that, let me tell you, he gave it. He who began to work in you will do what? He'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll be with us. He commanded help for us. When we had no help, when we had no hope, we had no way of escape. Jesus was commanded by the Father to come into this world. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That is, God commanded him to come. And Jesus said in John chapter 10 that he came. He did come. And he came to give his life and he came to take it up again. And the Father loved him. And because he did the will of the Father and he did what the Father commanded him to do, he was obedient even unto what? Even unto death. What was he obedient to? He was obedient to the call of the Father to go save my people. And my people included you and you and you and every one of you that love the Lord. You said, how in the world did I become one of his people? Because he made sovereign choice of you before the foundation of the world. And he didn't choose you for no reason. He chose you in love. That means he loved you. He loved you and embraced you. And there's absolutely nothing. Any good news? There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there isn't. David knew that. By the grace of God that was given to him, and you and I know it today, by the grace of God that's given to us. So we can say together to the Lord, in thee alone, O Lord, I put my trust. Even when I don't know what to say, what do you say to a family? It's lost twin boys. What do you say? I don't know what to say, but I know the Lord can provide what you need. What do you say when you're in trouble in this world? And who knows when we're going to be in that same trouble? Listen, trouble knocks on others' doors and sometimes we see it and go, that's tough. But when it knocks on your door, it really gets to be hard. I want you to know there's a place for you to go and a place for me to go when that door is our door and when that trouble comes our way. And you're not going to be free from trouble. God didn't say, follow me and you'll never have trouble. As a matter of fact, he said just the opposite. He said, if any of you will live godly in Christ Jesus, hear this, you shall suffer persecution. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus didn't leave us in the dark about what this world was going to be. That means you're going to have some bumps along the way. It's not going to always work out. Sometimes, Leah, your lights are going to not work. What does that mean? Well, The other night she called and the headlights weren't on working on the vehicle. I'm not going to pick on her. Because you know what happens? Sometimes my lights don't work either. And that doesn't seem like a big thing when it's somebody else's headlights, but when it's your headlights, when it's your problem, when it's your car, when it's your vehicle. And let's remove the word vehicle and put anything else. Every day we're faced with things that don't. You go to the doctor and he says what you do and you think you got it. Go get the medicine and the medicine's so high. What am I going to do now? What happens now? So we go to the Lord. Listen, David said we go to the Lord. You know when we get up and think we know what we're doing and got everything straight? We're really messed up. We're really confused. Because what do I really know how to do? What do I really know how to... do I really know how to make it next week? You know, all that's in front of us. Do I really know how... Listen, I don't even know that I'm going to have next week. I don't even know what the rest of this day is going to hold. I don't know what tragic thing might come my way. I have no clue about that. But I'll tell you this. Our God sees tomorrow just as clear as today. Our God holds tomorrow. Our God is the one we have to trust in for this moment and for this hour and for this day. And that's what living an abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ is. When you get up each morning and you say, okay, I don't know what's coming, but I'm in the hands of a God who said He'll never let me go. He'll never leave me. And if it's sickness, if it's health, if it's wealth or poverty, whatever comes my way, help me, Lord, be content. And may I have godliness and contentment, which is great gain. Godliness means I'm committed to praise Him, like Job, where he said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And until you reach that place, if God's worked on your heart, listen, the man of the world will never be happy with anything. Because the way of peace he has not known, and there is no peace for him. But a little child of God has a way to walk in peace in this world. And the way we walk in peace is not for everything to get fixed and nothing be broken, because that's not going to happen here. It's going to happen there. Won't it be a good day when it's all fixed and nothing's broken? You know when that's going to be? It's not going to be here. It's going to be over there. The closest to over there is right where you're sitting right now, in the Lord's house, among God's people, feeding on the Word of God. But even here, there's too much of us that came in with us. Now, I don't want to offend you, but it's a fact. There's too much of me in the pulpit. There's too much of you on the pew. There's too much of us. And that's what we battle the whole time. Many times when we're sitting in a church meeting and we're looking at the Word of God, we don't feed and we don't get it, because there's sometimes we get in the way. Our old self gets in the way. And what we want to do is put off that old man as much as we can. And you know, pride will rise up, envy will rise up. Oh, that preacher's getting pretty hard on me. I don't know whether I like it, what he said about that. I don't know, especially if he's preaching. Because if he's preaching, he's going to do some what? Some reproving, and he's going to do some correcting. He's going to say some things. Listen, the Word of God says things that my own nature does not like, does not want. It's still the Word of God. And the peace comes when we go, this is God's Word. Lord, help me to have my mind transformed, that I'd have the renewing of my mind, that I might prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that I could be settled. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. He said, let me never be put to confusion. If you read over in Psalm 31, he says, let me never be ashamed. That's what that means. Let me never be ashamed. I think of that really in two facets, two ideas. First of all, let me never be ashamed of the gospel. I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus, do you? I don't want to be ashamed to name Him and to claim Him. I don't want to be ashamed to speak His name. I don't care if it's before kings or who's it before. When I have the opportunity, may I always be willing to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise. May my speech and my words and my meditation of my heart be acceptable in His sight, that I might honor him with my life. May I never be ashamed. May I never be ashamed of the Lord's church. May I never be ashamed of the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. May I never be ashamed to own his cause, or blush, as the hymn writer said, to speak his name. May the Lord bless me. Ashamed of thee may it never be. And then the other is, may the Lord never leave us because we trusted in the gospel to be ashamed or sorry we did. And I'll say to you right now, you'll never be ashamed you did what the Word of God tells you to do. He tells us that over in Romans chapter 10. Just to read that verse real quickly in your hearing. He said in Romans chapter 10, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is not how someone that's dead gets alive. This is how one of God's little living children enjoy the sweet deliverance that comes in believing and confessing his name. I need to have that deliverance today, don't you? I need some salvation for this day. Eternal heaven is secured through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's not anything you and I can do in any way to add to that or take from it. But there's a timely deliverance that comes for God's little children when they, with their mouth, confess his name, and with their heart, they believe in him. Now, can we do that with the old natural heart? No. Doesn't have the capabilities. Somebody said you just got to change your heart and then give it to the Lord. First of all, our heart is dead. It's deceitful, Jeremiah said. It's desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? What would the God of heaven, who's holy and righteous and just, do with such a heart as that? If that heart has not been touched, but he does touch the heart, doesn't he? He does heart operations all the time. Doesn't leave a scar. I remember an old preacher preaching that many years ago. He came in and changed the heart and never left. He didn't leave the mark that the doctors and the surgeons leave when they do heart surgery. They leave evidence behind. When the Lord does it, he leaves evidence, but it's not a visible scar. He changes that hard and stony heart and makes it a heart of flesh. And he can do that in an instantaneous moment. Today, if anything I've said has touched you or means anything to you, there's evidence. Because it's the Word of God, there's evidence that he's changed and touched your heart. Now with that heart, because it's changed and touched, we're to do something, aren't we? I can do something with that heart. Not that old dead, that old dead man's heart, but the child of God who has a new heart and a new mind and a new and has been made a new creature can then do what this scripture says. We shall believe in thine heart. I believe in my heart. What heart? The heart he gives you. That God had raised him from the dead. I believe that he raised him from the dead. I don't believe there's a single one of you today that I could convince that Jesus is still in the grave. I don't believe there's a one of you. I don't think you'd have me in this pulpit 5 minutes. I pray you wouldn't. And if I ever got in the pulpit and said Jesus is still in the grave, he never came forth from the tomb. You know what that would mean if he never came forth from the tomb? It means we're dead in our sins and there'd be no hope for us, and the only thing we could expect from God is his wrath. That's not so. You know why? We've got an empty tomb. We've got eyewitnesses that ate with him and walked with him and talked with him. How they handled him. As he said, handle me. How they ate with him. They fellowshiped with him. And we have that eyewitness evidence that you and I can trust and depend upon and lean on. We're by faith believing in what the Lord says. And then we have his word that declares he's a resurrected Savior seated on the right hand of the Father. He came down and he gave his life, but he had the power not only to give it, but he had the power to take it up again. And today he's seated on the right hand of the Father, exalted in heaven. And as sure as he went to the grave, we'll come forth from the grave. And that's what David was trusting in, that kind of God. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You know how we can walk righteously before God today? It's not by getting all our works together. Not by doing it all just right. It's by believing and trusting in him. Because when we believe and trust in him, we receive from the Lord the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, to where we can see that He's died for us. We can have some peace about it. Listen, we don't make that happen. That's already happened. But you can have some peace about it. Do you need some peace about it? I do. I need to know that He's with me. I need to know that He's with me. And how can I know that? By simply believing what He says. And we do that by the grace that He's given us and faith that He's given us. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And where did you get faith from? Can't go down to the store and buy faith. It's not on the shelf. You can look for it. It won't be there. Faith is the gift of God. It's freely given. Faith is the substance by which you're able to believe. It's the evidence which you base your belief on. And without that substance and that evidence, you can't believe. But you've been given faith. You're like the disciples, little children in the ship right now on the water. And the storm is coming in and you're bailing right there with me. We're bailing water. We're trying to get the water out of the boat. You find your life sometimes just so busy and so tired and so weary because you're bailing water. You're just bailing water. I got to keep this ship afloat and I need some peace. Listen, the one who's your peace is right in the ship with you, and he's so troubled about everything, he's asleep on a pillow. Showing you and me that I'm in control, even when it seems like I'm not even aware that you may not even feel that he even cares. You know when the Lord cares about you all the time. David says in this Psalm 71, if you'll read it, he cared about me when I was in my mother's womb. He's cared about me when the storms came, when my enemies came. He allowed me to overcome them. When the trials came, he allowed me to overcome them. And as I grow old and my hair turns gray, he'll not leave me nor forsake me then, because he's promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That sounds like good news, doesn't it? It's the truth. May the Lord bless us not only to hear that today, but truly believe it. And as he said, with our heart we believe him. And when we believe him, that's when God's little children start walking righteously. Not when I'm walking in unbelief, but when I'm walking believing. And where does that righteousness come from? Did we produce that out of ourselves? God forbid we'd ever teach that. That's the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and with the mouth, there's something important that comes out of our mouth. Confession. I need to profess that. I don't want to be ashamed. I want to profess that. Confession is made. And that's unto salvation. There's a deliverance. I believe there's a deliverance in coming to church, don't you? I believe there's a deliverance that's found when you're praying and looking to the Lord. There's a deliverance that's found when you're singing the songs of Zion. There's a deliverance that's found when we're talking with one another about the Lord. It isn't what gets us to heaven, but it sure helps us along life's way. That's why we're to comfort one another with the word. That's why David over there in Psalm 71 continued to say, I want to speak his righteousness. I want to declare his righteousness with my mouth. I want to tell others. As long as I'm in this world, I want to number, as we say, and count your blessings, name them one by one. He said over there, let us number there without number. Let us talk to him about all of them. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him, get this, shall not be ashamed. That means you'll never be sorry you trusted in him and believed and depended upon him. We can be ashamed. I'm ashamed of a lot of things about me. And all of us can link about things. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I'd have said it differently. I wish I'd thought differently. I wish I'd have acted differently. I'm ashamed of the way I acted. But listen, when I think of Jesus, there's absolutely nothing that I can be ashamed of in him, in his gospel, in his church, in his people. I'm not ashamed of that. But I'll tell you what, when we trust in the Lord, he will never let you down. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's just read together Psalm 71. We'll give you a little chance to do your homework. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Not in my righteousness, but his righteousness. You see that? It's His righteousness. Caused me to escape. How could I escape? I could not escape judgment without Him. I couldn't escape in this world. I won't make it without Him, is what He's saying. Caused me to escape. He said, incline thine ear. That's like the Lord bowing down His head down where I'm at, where I need. Where He comes to me, where I need, and bow down, or incline thine ear to me, and save me. That's what we cry unto Him. He saved us eternally, but I need Him today, don't you? I need Him this moment. He said, be thou my strong habitation. Lord, let me live in Thee. Let me trust in Thee. Let me dwell in Thee. Dwell in Thy love. Dwell in Thy mercy and Thy grace, whereunto I may continually resort. Not just resort every once in a while on Sunday morning, but all the time as I go through my life and the bumps of life hit me. Let me resort in the Lord. Let me go right to the Lord when I'm in that trouble. When that problem, that bad news comes, let me go to the Lord. And Thou hast given a commandment to save me. There you are. The commandment from the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ, is to save my people. And David recognized that as a personal commandment of a personal Savior. He came to save His people from their sins, and He knew every one of them. He says, for Thou art my rock. That's good. He's our rock, thank the Lord, but He's my rock. I believe He's your rock. And He's my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. Are there cruel men in this world? Are there unrighteous men in this world? Do they sometimes seem like, how are we going to make it in this world? You know where we go to be delivered? We don't take the sword in our hand. We don't try to handle it ourselves. We turn it over to the Lord. You know, He'll take care of us. He has down through the ages. For Thou art my hope. He's my hope. O Lord God, Thou art my trust from my youth. Here David said, from a lad. But by Thee have I been holding up from the womb. That's a long time. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. You can just read First Samuel 17, that David stood before Goliath and was greatly delivered. No doubt he was a wonder in the eyes of so many people, and they didn't understand where his strength come from. But I believe we know where his strength came from, don't you? And here's what's important. David knew where his strength came from. He says it over there, but he says it right here. He says, Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Let that be what I talk about. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Oh, that's good. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. David had many enemies, and we as the children of God have many enemies in this world. We don't have to fear them or fret not over them. We're not to fret over them, because the Lord shall take counsel. They'll take counsel together, but the Lord is great. He says, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. In other words, he's weak now. Let's go get him. You know, they were messing up when they thought that, because they weren't fighting against David. They were fighting against the God of Israel, the God of David. He says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth Thy righteousness and Thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. In other words, I don't have a clue how many times the Lord delivered me. How many of us have even a clue? But for the grace of God, we'd have been in this mess and that mess. We know a lot of them. We've seen them. And we ought to count them. But the fact of the matter is, there's more of them than we'll ever count. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of Thy righteousness, even Thine only. O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Isn't that good? And until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation and Thy power to everyone that is to come. In other words, I just want to tell everybody how good and wonderful the Lord has been to me. As a matter of fact, he's telling us right now. God preserved these words and these thoughts by inspiration from the mouth of David, by the inspiration of God for us today. And it's just as good for you and I today as it has been for generations in the past. And as long as this world stands, his word will be saying these very things. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. How righteous is our God? It's high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? That's what how great thou art. We just say, who's like God? Nobody. Thou which has shewed me great and sore troubles, that means it allowed me to go through a lot of problems, shall quicken me again. He'll lift me up when I'm in another one. He's been with me in the past. It's grace that's brought me this far. Grace will lead me on. He'll quicken me again and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Even when we face that last trouble, which is death, he's going to bring us up from the face of the earth. Isn't it good to know that we have a God who doesn't even have... Death even isn't even a problem for our God. As a matter of fact, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the body that goes down in death is going to come forth resurrected in a glorious way to be like Christ and be satisfied. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. God's going to comfort us on every side. And I will also praise thee with a psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. That little redeemed child of God, here he's talking about singing, and he's talking about using a musical instrument under the old law covenant. In the New Testament time, the musical instrument we use is the voice that God has given us. And with our heart and with our voice, we lift it up in praise to Almighty God. We make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And he says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness. It doesn't say just on Sunday morning. It says all the day long. He says, for they are confounded, that is the world. For they are brought unto shame, that is the world, that seek my hurt. We don't have to fight our battles. You ever get caught up in fighting your own battles? I do. I think I got to handle it. You know when and things really get messed up quick when I think I got to handle it. We've got a Lord to trust in. Psalm 71 tells us that in every verse. May the Lord bless us to be obedient and as much as we can trust and lean upon the Lord to his honor and to his praise and to his glory. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you. $290. It's a good one. Jesus has done all things well. If it's convenient for you to stand, we'll stand together and sing 290, Jesus has done all things well. We publish the open door of the church, whether it be with this church, any sister churches represented, anyone that would have a desire to unite with this church, or take up the cross and follow the Lord in baptism. If that's something that's on your heart, we pray the Lord would bless you just to come lay that burden down and express your desire to unite. We'd love to hear from any who feel led in that way as we stand and sing together. 290, Jesus has done all things well. Out in the cold world away from God, no signs of where man's feet have trod. With broken heart I try to pray that God would take my sins away. All of my prayers were
chattering words and really fell day were not heard. The more I felt to be denied, the more I prayed, the more I cried. In sinfulness away from home, spirit all broken and alone, no one to care, no place to flee. Where will I spend eternity? The answer came as I gave up, about to drink a bitter cup, that Jesus died on Calvary's tree to save poor sinners just like me. And now I'm singing on my way, that Jesus washed my sins away. And as I live, I want to tell that Jesus has done all things well.
Was she singing with?
Yeah.
I thought that was singing.